Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I first want to say hi to all my loyal listeners, the show's loyal listeners. I've been out for about a month, so thank you for continuing to listen. I did have an operation. I'm doing awesomely well, and I want to say thank you to my doctor and surgeon and all the really amazing nurses at PMH who were so nice and funny and kept my spirits up. I want to say thank you to Robert from FedEx. You know who you are. I need to say hello to Cadron Carey and Alexander Mullings III from Custom Computers. And there was these really nice people also at Festival Place who wrote their name down on a piece of paper, which I promptly lost. So you know who you are, but thank you for listening to the show. And also, the lovely ladies that helped me register to vote in St. Anne's from the Ministry of Education, who also listened to the show. So it was really nice to have some time to meet listeners, and as I went about my day slowly. So I just really want to appreciate, send out my appreciation to all of you. It's great to be back, and I'm back in the studio with an artist who is a longtime friend and somebody that I've also admired enormously since I first saw his work as a younger woman. We're both a little more gray in the head now. I'd like to welcome to the studio Thierry Lamar. Good evening.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm actually doing really well, getting back on my feet, as you know. So it's exciting to be back. It's nice to take 4 weeks off work and just watch bad TV, but I have to say it's also great to have my brain functioning again. So I wanted to talk to you about your retrospective, which is opening just tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. It's been a long time coming. The title of the show is Love, Life, Loss. And is really focused around, it's around life, but particularly about certain individuals. But before we get into that, I really want the audience to know a little bit more about you, Thierry. So obviously with a name like Thierry Lamar, you are not a born Bahamian, but you are an adopted Bahamian. So tell us a little about yourself. Where were you born? How did you get into art? And how did you end up in the Bahamas?
Thank you. Thank you for having me here first. And yes, I am from France. I'm from a little town, not so little, but called Saint-Germain-en-Laye, which is on the west side of Paris.
And it's almost like a sort of suburb of Paris in a way now, really.
Yeah.
As the city's grown, yeah.
Yeah. It's actually quite a historical...
Saint-Germain, aren't there kings buried there and things like that?
There.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's very, very pretty in the woods and... Anyway, I left Saint-Germain quite a long time ago, and in 1985, I arrived somehow in the Bahamas.
Wow, just because it was exotic and fun, or was it the love story? Or
after it became a love story.
After, okay, so.
Originally it was more...
He's blushing, by the way, audience.
It was with a love story, passion for windsurfing. That's what brought me here.
Okay.
And then I met my lovely wife, and we kind of went back and forth for a couple of years between France and the Bahamas, New York, because she was in New York at one time when I met her, and then went back to the Bahamas, and then she moved with me in to France. And as I didn't want her to leave her country completely, we managed to do part-time in France, part-time in the Bahamas for nearly, let me think now, 14 years until we bought a business here. So we had to move more permanently to the Bahamas.
So your wife, just so the audience that don't know, is Joey Lamar, formerly Brown, who is of the Brown family, like Brown's Boat Basin, good old Bahamian family. And she now is one of the co-owners of Bahama Handprints, which is really one of our really outstanding businesses, but also an artistic business, which is, so she obviously has a creative gene as well.
Yes, definitely. It's right up our field, I guess, because my wife is very creative also, and we're enjoying the business. I mean, she's really the driving force with my sister-in-law, Linda, behind the business. I'm just kind of an outsider and just provide my help if they need it.
And counsel. So how did you first get into art as a young boy in Saint-Germain-en-Laye? Well, were you formally educated in an art school, or mm-hmm. was it something your parents encouraged, discouraged?
No, I was not formally educated in art. I did an interior design school, which is based on art for a year. Mm-hmm. You do a 1 year training to do a portfolio really when you start to mm-hmm. do all the exam of the big art schools. Mm-hmm. But before that, I was just when I was a kid drawing, because I enjoyed drawing. And then I enjoyed museums and seeing paintings. And really, I think my true love was drawing and painting, mm-hmm. which I kind of didn't really know at the time, because mm-hmm. It just happens. And, mm-hmm. and I discovered that after school that I really would like to paint one day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's actually really interesting that you touch on the museums, because for the people that don't know Thierry's work, it's a very... So he works in many different mediums, mostly known for your watercolor painting, and does these very sort of precisely realistic, but at the same time, like, very atmospheric. It's hard to describe your work, because when I think of sort of hyper-realism, I think of something that's got these very sort of strong lines to it. Do you know what I mean? Whereas your work is, and probably it's the medium and the paper as well, mm-hmm. but it's very soft, but at the same time, like, extraordinarily real. But it doesn't look like a photograph or something like that. I mean, you can tell it's painted.
No, I don't want it to. I mean, it's not, right. to me, it's not hyperrealism.
Right,
because
right.
hyperrealism, I mean, I would just paint a photo and
yeah, exactly.
It.
And then,
but
yeah.
there's a lot of, I think, some abstraction and some impressionism in it.
Yeah, definitely some impressionism in it. And so that was really a question, because if you didn't have a formal training, when I look at your work, though, I see like a lot of classical influence. I think uh-huh. of Vermeer very often,
yeah.
especially with
mm-hmm.
your use of light. I think of the Impressionists, especially in many of the scenes where your models are like outside with the reflection off the water, or like working in the land. So would you say your education came from museums? I mean, because living close to Paris, obviously you had the most extraordinary school right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
have,
I mean, really, you learn more looking at art than you do reading about it, or having
definitely.
Someone talk to you about it in a classroom.
Definitely. I mean, we have wonderful museum, as all big cities, really, but Paris is mm-hmm. really special, and my favorite museum is Musée d'Orsay.
Mm-hmm. And, so the Musée d'Orsay is a former train station that Paris renovated and put all their mid-19th century to sort of like
yeah.
mostly the Impressionists, but
yeah.
also you had some
yeah.
early neoclassical work in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really something.
It's spectacular. Yeah, absolutely. But so, were there specific works as a young person that you were drawn to? Did you spend time? I mean, I know when I visit Paris, you always see people. I think it's wonderful. The museums allow that, to have people come in uh-huh. with paints and pencils, and they sit there, and you see art classes happening in the Louvre. Was that something you did? Were you
no,
able to
no,
do that?
I didn't. But I, yeah. I did. I just was purely enjoying and mm-hmm. viewing, and I loved all the Impressionists and. And yes, I'm sure it has an influence somewhere, mm-hmm. even if it's not conscious.
So if I asked you to name one painting, would you be able to do that? Because I know, like, people ask me when I became interested in contemporary art, and I know exactly, I remember the suite of works I saw that made me think, okay, there's more to this than I think there is. I have to spend some time. And that's the Mark Rothko Chapel paintings in London.
Wow! No, one painting was very hard. Not at the time, anyway. Later on, I do like Andrew Ayers' works very mm-hmm. much, and I really love that Christina World.
The Christina World, yeah,
I
yeah.
think it's a fascinating painting, and the way it was done also, that he had added the Christina after mm-hmm. scratching, I went especially to New York to see the painting,
mm-hmm.
and. I've seen it in books and all that, and when you see the real thing, it's just so much more.
Well, and that's why I would encourage people to, if they've never been to the gallery, or if you know they think, oh well, why do I need to go, just to come and look, because I think you're right. I think too, you know, in our day and age where everyone's on their phone and taking pictures, and you know, a lot of young people that I interviewed to work at the NAGB, I asked them like how they learned about work, and they said through Instagram, and that's all fine and well, but I think there's nothing that can compare to standing in front of the real thing. And I think that what you take as a human standing in front of an artwork is completely different from what you would take looking at that artwork's picture.
Oh, definitely. Only the fact of the scale of the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, on your screen of a computer or telephone,
sure.
9 by 10 by 10 inch painting or 5 feet by 5 feet mm-hmm. painting will have the same impact on your telephone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But in real, it's very, very different. Mm-hmm. So yes, I think you have to have that contact with the painting in real, and also it's a flat image, but it becomes 3D when you see the real thing, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of things happening in the painting that you're missing in the photo, mm-hmm. even if the good quality photo.
What's your texture, of course, texture, and I think that's something, again, you have a very specific use of paper. You know, the materials you use mm-hmm. are really thoughtfully cared for. It's not like you went down to the store and you bought the pre-made canvas. I mean, you really spent some time, even with your sketchbook, some of which we're going to have on show.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
About my sketchbook?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about this one I've just ordered, and, you know, you really seem to have a lot of care about what you're going to carry around to make sketches.
Yes, definitely. Because I think the support react to with you. It's they're all different. Paper, wood, canvas, whatever you're painting on or drawing on. A lot of different papers. And they react to what you're doing. So the same utensil that you use on different grounds will have a totally different effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that interaction mm-hmm. with the background.
So are you experimenting with your sketchbooks? Are you getting new kinds of paper to see how that...
Yeah, I started to paint on that paper from Nepal. Mm-hmm. The first piece, I think, is 2007. And I struggled a little bit because it was actually not the watercolor paper, mm-hmm. per se. It's very hard when you wet it, it gets dark, and, mm-hmm. and the pigment doesn't travel and all that. But mm-hmm. anyway, I really do love the paper. I just, when I discovered it in Paris, I just love to touch the paper and the fibers in there. It's all handmade by the Indians in mm-hmm. the mountains of Nepal. So I like the story behind. And then suddenly I discovered online, a bit by luck, that a company called Kathmandu Valley made those kind of books of that paper,
mm-hmm.
and the cover is they're all beautiful, handmade. Some have hard color covers, some have leather, buffalo wet leather covered, and it's just beautiful. And I like beautiful objects, so mm-hmm. it's a treat to be able to.
It's very interesting that you're. I mean, we have to go to a break, but I think that you are drawn to these very handmade objects because, of course, obviously in your work, you're also looking at a way of life that's all about labor mm-hmm. by the hand and sort of slowness to things. And I think it's interesting there's sort of a connection there. But anyway, we're going to go to a short break and we'll come back and speak a little bit more, you know, really about the work. So I'm in the studio tonight with Thierry Lamar, who is a Frenchman transplanted to the Bahamas. How long have you lived here now? 30-something odd years?
Well, the first time I stepped in the Bahamas was 87. So mm-hmm. we went, 85, sorry. Went back and forth until 2001. And 2001, that's when my wife decided to
commit
put her
full
feet
time.
In Bahama handprint.
And we will be opening an exhibition with Thierry tomorrow night at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas to coincide with George Cox's opening, which is opening on the same night. There was a show about that last night, and of course everyone is invited. We're going to come back after the break to speak more about Thierry's work. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.